without knowing what it's really about. It's the it's that back that ass up song of the new generation. Or what's the other one?
Baby Got Back.
Baby Got Back of the new generation, yes. So before we get back to your phone calls on the Yankees, we'll mix in the Mets as well. I saw something so unique yesterday in New York City that I want to share with the audience. Last night was just a really bad traffic day, which you may have experienced.
God, it was horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible, right?
It really was.
So Tiki experienced it. I experienced it. I'm sure a lot of New Yorkers experienced it for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because it's like Thursday's the new Friday. It's the summer. Well, whatever the reason, crazy traffic day. And I needed gas. And usually I time up my gas visits, you know, pretty smartly. Yes. I did not yesterday. So I had to do something I normally don't do, and that's get gas in Manhattan. There aren't really that many gas stations in Manhattan, and usually they're overpriced. But I figured, hey, you know what? It's going to take me forever to get home anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever. I stopped at a gas station. And for some of our audience, you may want to go to this gas station. And I'm going to give it a pop.
Why? Cheap?
Nope.
No?
131st Street and Broadway. Okay? That's its location. It is a Shell gas station. Now, you may say, why are you bringing it up? Tiki thinks it's because it's cheap. It's right. Not because it's cheap. It's not because I know anybody that works there. I know nobody that works there. When I got there, I saw something on the gas pump, and I got tingly. And then I went to the next gas pump, and the same thing was on every gas pump. And it was a logo. And it was a logo of the New York Islanders. What? And I got to tell you, and I know the Islanders are my fourth team, all that, I fell in love with the gas station. I'm like in the heart of Manhattan, 131st and Broadway. We ain't that far from Madison Square Garden. Every pump had the Islander logo on said pump, and it changed my entire evening as I was driving home. So on behalf of every Islander fan, I say to you, Shell Station on 131st and Broadway, let's go, Islanders.
Wow, makes sense, man.
Let's go, Islanders. Thank you very much. And for any Islander fan who happens to be stuck in New York City, give him your business, right? There you go. Your thoughts?
Every March, the Islanders are just that, out of gas, so it fits.
You giving them a laugh for that?
That's a good one.
That's a good one?
Sean is good sometimes. I have to acknowledge him when he's good.
That wasn't good.
You're just insulted by it, but it was good. Good job, Sean.
Thanks, Steve. Right. See you Monday, pal.
See you Monday. You ain't seen me Monday. This is vacation, Evan. You kidding me?
888-808-1019. Monday, we'll be talking football.
Big Hard Knocks Tuesday.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Hard Knocks.
Let's go to Brad on Long Island. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're good, dude.
What's up?
Nothing, man. We got to talk about these Yankees. There's nothing to be optimistic right now with this team. And I'm not saying that this is how they're going to play the rest of the year. They're definitely going to come out of this slump and go back to being a little bit better. Shows you that they're not a player-winning team. Not going to happen. Same thing every single year with these guys. Torres cannot start another game. All right? DJ or Cabrera in that spot, let them do their thing. I have more faith in them to do better than him. And he's awful in the field.
Well, I think what you need to do, instead of saying I'm done with him, because, I mean, DFAing him, okay. I guess it'll make you happy for a day and a half, but it really doesn't serve any purpose.
Yeah, and it undercuts any value that you could get for him. It's not worth it.
I think what you've got to do, and we've seen it start, is say, hey, you're not guaranteed playing time.
Mm-hmm.
When you hit, you'll play. And this has to now be a meritocracy, where if you're hitting, you'll get to play baseball. Oswaldo Cabrera, especially against right-handers, has been more effective. When a righty's on the mound, I got to find a way to get Oswaldo Cabrera in the lineup. And if DJ LeMahieu can start hitting, then he'll play more. Gleyber Torres, same thing. Like, Gleyber's going to return. I think it's tonight. We'll find out when the lineup gets posted. But I think we now have entered a universe where you have to perform to play. I also think, and I will give you my solution a little bit later on in the show, I also think that Boone needs to pull a Mendy. And that is shake the lineup up, which we've talked a little bit about over the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to try something. Like, what I appreciated about what Mendoza did a month or two ago was he wasn't just going to run the same guys out there, same lineup every day and say, I hope it's going to turn around.
Yeah.
He tried things and some of it worked, like Francisco Lindor leading off. Some of it did not, like Pete Alonso batting second, Brandon Nimmo hitting third. That's why those guys aren't doing it anymore. And then it turned into Brandon Nimmo's batting second and Pete Alonso sitting cleanup and JD is hitting third. So I think there are creative ways for the Yankees to change the lineup up just to give it a try.
Because
when you're losing, you got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah, but you also don't want to, I don't know, you don't want to start a precedent of moving guys around all over the place. Because it works so well to have the consistency of the lineup every single day.
I agree with you, but it's not working right now.
Well, part of that's injury, obviously. It's Giancarlo Stanton being out. We bemoan him so much, but how much do you wish he was healthy right now?
Nah, he'd make a big difference. Let's go to Andy in Milford. How you doing today, Andy?
Good. How you doing, guys?
What's up?
All right, Ev, I love your excited exuberances and your decisive comments, but I got to take you to task on anybody's an idiot who doesn't like the OMG song.
Yeah, I think it shows you have no musical taste. That's what it shows me.
Well, hold on. I was just going to say it's not a Go New York Go. It's not a Dudes and Dogs that you had, and it's definitely not a Pink Cadillac.
Dogs!
You've got to step back, my friend, and it's not about idiots. It's not a Pink Cadillac.
Well, Pink Cadillac is a classic for those that are not familiar with this, because Tiki may be saying, what's that about? That turned into the Yankees rally song in 1996 with Mike and the Mad Dog, part of our station's wonderful history.
Like that old school song?
Yeah, that song, and I think it started, man, I'm a kid listening to WFN at that time. I think it started with Mike basically saying, yeah, we're getting in the Pink Cadillac all the way to the World Series. And so every time they would win a game in this very time slot, hallowed grounds, Mike and Chris would play the Pink Cadillac song. So it became synonymous with the 1996 New York Yankees. There are songs that become synonymous with teams. To me, and forget Who Let the Dogs Out because that was from fabricated crap, but in 1999 when the Mets got to the sixth game of the NLCS, their rally song was Mr. Mojo Rising, L.A. Woman with Jim Morrison and the Doors. And it was cool. And I ended up finding myself loving the song because here's the reality, jokes aside, you love a song when you start to feel like it impacts your team. And that's really what this is about. This is clearly a rally song for the New York Mets, and it's working. So why is OMG such a great song? Oh my God. Is it because of the asses that are being referred to in it? Maybe. For Tiki, it is.
I like it. Now that I know.
For me, though, as much as I may like that, what really gets me going is thinking about bombs to left field. Oh my God. Bombs to right field. Oh my God. RBI doubles up the alley. Oh my God. That's what it makes me think about. And that's why I love the song, and that's why it's a great song. And if you're I'm going to rephrase my statement. If you're a Met fan who doesn't like the song, you're an idiot. I'll go with that. Is that better?
Love it.
Yeah.
This is our thong song. I love it.
This is our thong song. Oh my God. Dude, I love that song from back in the day.
Cisco.
Show me that.
Dumps like a truck. Truck. Bitch, say what?
Can you pull that song up
at some point? I absolutely can.
For those in the audience who are too young to remember it, or for those in the audience too old to remember it.
I was going
to
say, we were in high school.
It's the other way around.
It's like a sweet spot age-wise, because if you're too old, you have no idea. If you're too young, you may have no idea. That song used to get me so excited when I heard it. Because you know what it made me think of?
What?
Something.
Thong? The thong, dong, dong?
Well, it made me think of something I never get to see. Because at the time, I was 16 and 17 years old.
A thong?
Well, I was never going to, you know. I was me as a 16-year-old, Teak. What do you think? That's where I was at. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on? Good show, guys.
Thank you, man.
What's up?
Yeah, okay, so here's the take I have on the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
I just did the 2-9, I believe, in the last 11 games, right?
Correct.
Prior to that, they had the best combined ERA in baseball, 3.04, I believe, for the starters and about 3.3 for the relievers. Now, if they are now in these last 11 games, believe it or not, the ERA for the starters is 10.
Mm-hmm.
10.
I do believe now, it based on some of the bad starts they've had, but go ahead. Yeah,
so if they would have pitched the way they were pitching in the first 65 games, and I looked at how many runs they scored a game in those 11 games, they scored 4. So that 2-9 could have been 9-2 if they just pitched to the same ERA and scored the same amount of runs. Thanks for taking my call, and tell me what you think of that.
I disagree with you on this level. So they scored 2 runs last night. They scored 2 runs the night before that. Now, you're very rarely winning baseball games when you're scoring 2
right.
runs. The night before that, they scored 7 runs. That was the kind of Fugazi-ish comeback, if you will, judge at the late grand slam to get him back in it. But, yeah, they scored 7 runs. You're right. If you pitch better, you win that game. And the day before that against Atlanta, they scored one run. And two games before that against Atlanta, they scored one run. So they have played four of their last six games where they've scored two runs or less. You're not winning games that way. Or you're at least very rarely winning games that way. Because even earlier in the season when they were pitching at a high level, like how many times do you think they were winning games and only scoring two runs?
Not very many.
I have the answer, yes, if you're curious. They were 0-2, 1-2. They won one game against the Orioles 2-0 back in early May. They won a game against Detroit in early May 2-1. They won against a game against the Rays in mid-May 2-0. And they won a game against the Angels 2-1. Outside of that, when they were scoring one or two runs, they were losing every single time. Because you don't win games when you only score two runs. I also think that the reason the lineup gets more attention in terms of worry is that I think more Yankee fans look at the guys who are struggling and say, I don't believe in them.
Yes.
Well, I think there is a little bit more confidence in, hey, Gerrit Cole's going to figure it out. Hey, Luis Seals just had three bad starts in a row. But I think DJ and Glaber specifically are the guys that Yankee fans are looking at and saying, you know,
well, there's always one or two of those guys every single season, it seems, that you're just done with. Whether it was Gallo or Hicks or back in whatever. It just feels like there's always someone that the fans have been waiting to unload upon.
Right.
And they're just waiting for the excuse. And last year they couldn't do it because as bad as the team was, Glaber was actually playing pretty well. And so now that he's in this contract year and he should be playing his best ball and he's not, it's you double down on him.
Right.
Like now you make it worse and you almost feel for him because you don't. Even talking to Aaron Boone when we had him out at the Cadillac Club for the Subway Series, like, it didn't feel like he had an answer for what was plaguing him. And so sitting him down, not because of the groin, by the way, because he said that after he wasn't in the lineup, is probably the best thing that you can do. Because when you don't have an answer, you need some time to figure it out yourself.
And sometimes it works.
Right. Playing through it, it seems like this isn't basketball. Just keep shooting. You're a good three-point shooter. Just keep shooting them. Like in baseball, when your team is struggling, you can't afford to do that, at least not perceptually.
Well, and also to your point, if it is mental, for whatever reason, whether it's the contract or it's something else, sometimes getting away from it just for a couple days helps. And I was listening to Aaron Boone the other day talk about this, and he did say Glaber Torres needed a couple of days. If he wanted to spend those couple of days working really, really hard in the cage, great. If he needed a couple of days to just get away, which is tough to do in the middle of the season, that's fine. Whatever you think is going to benefit you, because they do need him. You know, when you try to figure out how this thing is going to turn around, not that Glaber Torres needs to be an all-star. He just needs to be competent.
Yes.
Same with DJ LeMahieu. They just need to be average baseball players. And if they are, it really does make a world of difference to this lineup. It just changes things. Rich is in New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how are you guys? Good?
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Hey, here's the problem that I have with Major League, like of sports. When are the players going to be held accountable? Because, recently in my job, I didn't do well. And now I lost the account, and now I take a pay cut.
Right.
And I'm not actually saying that, you know, they should lose money and all this stuff, but when are people going to be held accountable?
Well, hold on. Let's answer that specifically. What do you want to have happen? I'm sure you're talking about the Yankees.
I don't know.
Well, what do you want then? If you don't know, what do you want?
I would like them to take a hit. In the salary. That is Glaber Torres the other night just jogging down first base. I mean, come on. The guy gets like a $15 million a year.
I understand. If your point is, I don't want salaries to be guaranteed, we're wasting our time.
Yeah.
Okay, salaries are guaranteed.
It's not happening in baseball.
Yeah.
It'll never go away.
No, that's just not the way the world is. If your answer is, hey, to the power that Aaron Boone has, I want them to be held accountable. That's a different discussion because one of the critiques of Aaron Boone has been, he's too player friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's too pro player. And there are some managers like Ron Washington. I don't know if anybody's paying attention to what Ron Washington has been pulling as the manager of the Angels of Anaheim. But basically, he's a hard ass right now.
He needs to be.
He needs to be, but I'm going to make you a prediction. It's not going to work and he's going to lose his job. Like Ron Washington calling out Luis Guillorme a few months ago Or Ron Washington the other day talking about one of his hitters, hey, you're looking at your iPad, you ain't going to find the answers there. Like, that's not long for the world of baseball in 2024.
You still have a soft spot for Luis Guillorme? That why that is?
No,
oh,
I'm...
poor Luis. Ron's yelling at you. He hurt your feelings.
No, I'm...
I will defend you on WFAN.
No, I'm not even defending Guillorme. I'm merely telling you, and tell me if I'm wrong. Look, you played for a hard-ass head coach.
Right.
I don't think...
And I appreciated it.
But I don't think in baseball in 2024...
Oh, no. I don't think in football in 2024 that works.
So then you agree with me?
I don't think in any sport... I don't think in college sports in 2024 that works.
So then...
Guess what's happening? That kid is transferring.
Exactly.
Right? And in baseball or football or any of these professionals, maybe hockey it does because they police themselves pretty effectively, which is, I find, commendable. But I think for a lot of these teams, like... If you don't have the right rapport with the players, you lose the clubhouse. You lose the locker room. You lose your ability to do anything.
Yeah.
So it is dangerous. But Ron doesn't care.
No, I'm just using that as an example.
I know you are, but I'm just telling you. He doesn't care.
No, I know he doesn't. And he also knows the team stinks.
All right, we have breaking Mets news.
Oh, God. Is it bad news?
Well, we'll just see if the good vibes are coming. It's attached with audio.
I don't like this.
Huh? Well, I'm going to leave the element of surprise.
All right.
We now know what Drew Smith's issue is, and he has met the media.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
I tell you. The original image showed some pretty significant damage, so just getting a second opinion right now, but surgery's on the table, so we're just going to wait and see what Meister says.
And that would be a Tommy John or a brace? Or...
That's also what they're deciding. So we're just trying to see our options, and he wants to see me in person before he decides that. So, yeah, that's where we're at.
All right, so here's the thing. I know that Met fans were heartless bastards. We're just a bunch of heartless bastards who don't care about Drew Smith because, in the estimation of many Met fans, Drew Smith stinks. And he shouldn't be on the team and DFA him and whatever. Drew Smith is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. He's gone. He'll never pitch again for the New York Mets. I have so much compassion for Drew Smith right now, and I do have an issue with the franchise I root for, and I know that no one is going to agree with me or give a rat's ass because you think Drew Smith stinks. And he does, by the way. Okay, I'm with you. He's not great. What happened on Sunday night is unexplainable and is embarrassing. So Sunday night, when Edwin Diaz got thrown out for sticky stuff, Drew Smith came into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Smith is allowed as much time as he needs to warm up, which he did. He took a long, long time. He then pitched a little bit. Actually, got the first two outs.
Did he pitch the night? When was the last time he pitched?
You want to go into the office and grab my scorebook? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm just wondering.
I'll look that up for you. I got to find that.
Was this an emergency? Drew, I know you weren't. So Friday. So... I mean,
the answer is Friday, so you didn't pitch Saturday?
No.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, he had a day. So I was going to say maybe he was just over the tax and this was like, we need you type of thing. Go out there. I know it's going to take some time, but just go out there. We need a couple of hours.
He has been overworked. Right. I don't know if that's the reason he got hurt. He pitched on the 16th, the 17th, the 19th, the 20th, 21st, and the 23rd, but whatever. That's not even my point because I don't know if he was overworked, even though he just came back from an injury. Here's the issue. So Drew Smith comes into the game. He takes as much time as he needs to warm up. He comes in. He gets a couple of outs. And then I saw something, I got to be honest with you, I've never seen before. And the fact that this is the conclusion is sort of a disgrace. Drew Smith signaled something's wrong. And the trainer comes out and Carlos Mendoza comes out. And usually, like every single time a baseball player says, hey, something's wrong, especially a pitcher, he will throw a warm-up pitch. And maybe everything's okay and he stays in the game, or maybe it's not okay and he comes out of the game.
Yeah.
He did not throw any warm-up pitches. And I'm sitting there. Obviously, I'm thinking about the result of the game. The Mets are up by 3 at the time, 2 outs and nobody on, so I'm feeling okay. But I'm also thinking, did he just not throw a warm-up pitch and he's staying in the game? Mm. Like, what the hell is going on? He then finishes the at-bat, gives up a base hit up the middle, and very promptly, Mendoza comes out and takes him out. Diekman comes in, Mets win the game, whatever. And I mentioned this on the Rico. I don't know if I'd mention it on the Fan because it seemed like such small potatoes. Mm-hmm. But I said, that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Here's a guy calling the trainer out, not throwing a warm-up pitch, staying in the game, and then coming out right after. And I said at the time on the Rico, Boy, let's see how this plays out, because if something bad happens to him, this is going to make the New York Mets look like complete fools, even if you don't care because he's only Drew Smith. The fact that 5 days later, this guy, and it sounds like he's crying
right
as he's talking to the media because, you know, he's a human, is going to need Tommy John surgery. I'm sorry. I need a better answer from Carlos Mendoza and the New York Mets training staff than, he said he was all right. He didn't throw a warm-up pitch, and you let him stay in the game, and his career now is basically in jeopardy.
Well, clearly they botched it. They botched this situation. But sometimes isn't that just bad luck? Isn't it just, I don't know.
Throw a warm-up pitch, Tate. That's all I'm asking.
Maybe he said, I don't need to throw a warm-up. You know what I mean? I don't know what that conversation was about. Like, I don't know what they said. Something doesn't feel right. Hey, are you sure you're okay? You know, we need you to finish this inning. Can you finish the inning? Yeah, no problem, Skip. I got it. So I don't know what he said. So it's hard for me to crush Carlos Mendoza or the training staff or the Mets. If he said I feel fine, I'm gonna finish this at bat. Why would you know? How can you? Why do you blame them?
My issue is, I've never seen Tiki. This is where I disagree. I've never seen a guy call out a trainer and then not throw a warm-up pitch to at least show, hey, I'm okay. If he throws a warm-up pitch and then stays in the game, I swear to you, we give this news, that sucks for Drew Smith, and we move on. He never threw a warm-up pitch.
I don't even know if I've seen someone call out a trainer and then stay in the game.
By the way, I agree with that, too. Like, very rarely have I ever seen, hey, something's wrong, and then actually stay in the game. This one jumps a step and he stays in the game.
And then, obviously, it sucks for his career.
Look,
he's probably a year away from even getting another shot.
Well, it sounds like, based on that...
2 years. He's not pitching for two seasons.
He's out for a year and a half. Yeah. He's a free agent. And I get Met fans, and that's why we'll move on from this. You don't care. At the end of the day, you don't care about Drew Smith. He's a very average... That's fine. By the way, I don't even disagree with the opinion on Drew Smith, the pitcher. But the handling of this situation is horrific. But here's the good news. OMG Grimace, the Mets are winning, so no one's going
to
care.
Let me give you another angle about this, Evan. You need to get your good buddy Rob Manfred on the phone because he cost us two pitchers. Because had they allowed Edwin Diaz to just wash his damn hands, Drew Smith probably wouldn't have got hurt.
I can't say that. You want to know why?
Because he had enough time to warm up hurt two batters later?
No, here's why I can't say that. Because there is a rule in baseball, and it's a good rule, that you have as much time as you need to get ready. And that is on the pitcher, whoever it is, to use that time. Drew Smith even said, I heard him say this, I should have used more time. And you know what? I get it's a tough spot. You're on the mound at Wrigley Field. It's the ninth inning. Trust me, bro. I understand there's pressure on you, but I can't. Look, as much as I disagree with what happened with Edwin Diaz, obviously I think it's disgraceful. Mm-hmm. There's a rule, and Drew Smith and anyone else has to know, like, just take as much time as you need.
Yeah, but let's say
I can't put that on Manfred as much as I can't stand.
Let's say you're late for your flight, and you're rushing, and you leave your wallet somewhere. That's because you're rushing, you feel the pressure, but you go, honey, take as much time as you need. Your wife's going to give you the business because you overslept.
No, but no one's giving you the business.
No. Bro, Drew Smith.
ESPN's giving him the business?
No, David Cohn's in a rush. This all goes back to that they should have just allowed Edwin Diaz to wash his hands, stop with this stupid farce with the sticky stuff, and now Drew Smith likely got hurt because of this, in my opinion.
I get what you're saying, but I can't bring the two together because I do think that it is the responsibility. I do believe in self-responsibility. I think it's on the athlete to just take as much time as they need because that's the rule. They can take as much time as they need.
You know yourself better than anybody else. So if you know something's wrong, take your time or say, I can't do it.
Yes. 100%. I put that on him. I'm more perturbed at how this whole thing was handled. And again, here's the beauty of the world, because it's not just sports. The winners write the story. The story of our universe, right or wrong, is written by who won. Mm-hmm. The Mets are winning right now. Mendy, everything he touches is gold. OMG, Grimace, I'm thrilled as a Met fan too. So because of that, this is a fart in the wind story. We just talked about it, and I guarantee we're going to move on. No one's ever going to mention it again. It's done. So that's the good news for the Mets.
Unless something like this happens again.
Well, then it's a different story.
If it becomes a pattern, it becomes a problem.
Yes. Now, it does reinforce that as we creep closer to the trade deadline, about a month away, the New York Mets, if they're going to purchase anything, need to purchase relief help, because that is the biggest challenge facing this team right now. More than anything else is the arms in the bullpen. We'll get back to your calls next at 888-808-1019. But also, I got a bone to pick and I'm going to pick it with some people, including Sean Morash, mm-hmm. and some beat writers and some Mets analysisers, because they had a lot to say about something a year ago. And now where you at?
All night long. Let me see that song.
Yeah, it's a hit from the day, man. If you go back a little bit less than a year ago, I'd say it was about 9 months ago when the Mets declaratively ended their season by dumping Max Scherzer and dumping Justin Verlander. It was actually very early on in our show's existence.
Yes.
But I was very bothered by the fact that so many in the media, and even Sal and Sean did it around here, where it was, why are the Mets bad? It must be a clubhouse thing. And
I thought you were going to say not trying to compete thing.
No. It was a year ago. It was when we were diagnosing why the Mets struggled.
Yes.
And one of the things that became this common theme, and it wasn't just, I'm not saying it was just Sal or Sean, but you were part of it. So I'm using you as examples, plus you're my friends. I don't want to use anyone else's name as an example, the reporters that did it. And I understand what the reporters were doing. They were trying to figure out, hey, why did this season go badly? Oh, it must be the locker room.
Yeah.
And it became the subject of like a lot of discussion and a lot of research, right?
The McNeil stuff and Lindor.
Tommy Pham talking about players not working hard. There was just a lot. Verlander and Scherzer didn't like each other. Somebody, I even forget all the details of it. But it was a locker room thing. And what bothered me was sometimes you're just bad because you're bad. And sometimes you're just like, I had my baseball reasons for why things didn't go well for the New York Mets. And mm-hmm. it always bothered me that we needed to find like other reasons to define it. And so that became a very, very big talking point. And I certainly had this discussion on the Rico Bronya, the podcast I do, of there's something wrong with the core. Like, the core is this and they don't get along and this guy is bad and that guy is bad. And it continued when the Mets got off to a bad start.
Yes.
And then last night, something weird happened. So obviously the Mets have been winning lately, but they still have a long way to go. They're only a 500 team, let's be honest. They still have a lot of work to do. 39-39 is what it is. But we saw a locker room come together last night at Citi Field by partying and singing and dancing to OMG. And so I want to give, because I'm a fair guy, the opportunity to anyone who thought the locker room was an issue to answer this question. And there are ways you can get out of this very easily. You can say, Evan, the locker room was an issue, and here's what's changed. Carlos Mendoza changed it. Buck Showalter was a problem. Or you can say, J.D. Martinez and Jose Iglesias changed it. There's your answer. If that's your answer, we can debate it and accept it. Or you were just full of crap, and we looked for things that didn't exist.
But by the way, I think you can't discount J.D. and Jose Iglesias' input.
I am not.
Including.
I am not.
And also included in that is Francisco Lindor's leadership.
I think he was a leader last year, too, though. I don't think that changed.
True, but not in combination with all these things. And then, obviously, the evolution, continued maturation of Francisco Alvarez. Right? Those are the things that I think that are biggest differences.
Well, yeah, and the high energy of Harrison Bader is always fun to be around, too.
Right, 100%.
Now, the only thing that would prove is the Mets never did need to break up their core. They just needed to add the right ingredients, which, by the way, was my opinion of, yeah, maybe they do need a leader. I can't dispute that. And who that right guy is may not necessarily be a superstar, and you never know who it is. And so I actually accept that the locker room wasn't the reason they struggled last year. I think it was a lot of other reasons, baseball reasons. Mm-hmm. They didn't perform well enough. Their pitching was off. Like, there's a million different reasons, and I stand by that. I do think that adding those three ingredients matter. But what I just want to know is the locker room still a problem? Or have we admitted that maybe that was just not true?
Clearly, it's not a problem.
I'm just curious.
Right. I think early on in the season, it wasn't the locker room that was the issue. It was JD's not here.
Right.
It was Brett Beatty being a shell of what you thought he was going to be. It was, you know, the bullpen consistently imploding and losing games. Like, what was this? The stat, they had 8 blown saves, or maybe it was 12, whatever the number was.
Mm-hmm.
And if they just hadn't blown the games they were supposed to win,
because
they were in the 8th inning or later, then they're above 500. So it would have felt like, all right, this is about what the Mets are supposed to be. Instead of dipping to 11 games under 500, they would have been 2 games over 500.
Right, right.
And we'd say, yeah, this is kind of what I expected for this team.
Sure.
Given the lack of massive movement in the offseason. And now they just got hot. And it's probably because of the leadership and Alvarez coming back and Lindor being, all right, dudes, let's air this out. Let's cuss each other out for a little bit and get this thing right. And then obviously the bullpen stabilizing and guys like Lindor and Alvarez and even Pete and JD starting to hit and score runs.
So you want to apologize?
Vientos coming up and being, I mean, not Vientos, yeah, Vientos. Mark Vientos coming up and being amazing.
Yeah.
So
it's baseball reasons.
It's baseball reasons.
Yeah, it always is.
I mean, ultimately, it's always going to be baseball reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think the manager helped. And frankly, I'm embarrassed for you with this take going back. It's a different team than a year ago, even if some of the pieces are
there. Very different team.
For so many different reasons.
You told me they had to get rid of guys. That was you. That's what you told me.
Okay, well, they found plan B, which has worked out pretty good.
No, that's not plan B. Maybe that's plan A.
Got rid of a pretty big piece in Buck Showalter, who managed the whole
thing. So Buck Showalter was the problem.
Well, or
which, by the way, is a fair thing to say, because last year when we had these inane discussions about the locker room, my answer was, we'll get rid of the manager.
Well, no doubt, because even if other guys that are still there maybe weren't the best of friends, Buck Showalter is the leader of men in that clubhouse, clearly wasn't doing a good enough job in whatever his process was, and they have found the right guy with the finger on the pulse for that. In Mendoza. So I just think going back to a year ago is silly. Things have definitely
not
changed.
Silly.
Fences can get mended. I hated Lou Gowers 2 weeks ago. We're thick as thieves now.
Oh, really?
We are? We just fought on the air for an hour yesterday.
I say it.
That was a fake fight.
Was it?
Yeah.
What are you, Giannotti now?
No, it just didn't feel.
Didn't feel real?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know.
I don't know anymore, to be honest with you. Mm. I don't know what's real or fake around here. I get very confused. I do think, and I want to tie the Yankees into this, earlier this season, the New York Yankees were playing great baseball, and they were dogs and they were dudes, and there was a difference in that locker room, right? We heard that. There was a difference. Winning creates a good locker room. A good locker room doesn't create winning.
You
can dispute that more than anybody because you were in one. So am I wrong, Teak?
No. But sometimes it doesn't matter. You know?
Well, that, yes.
Right? If you're just good enough, it doesn't matter. You can have a horrible locker room, and if you're just good, it doesn't matter.
And that's kind of the overall point. Like, earlier this season, let's remember what we said about the Yankee locker room.
Yeah.
Now they stink. And they stink for baseball reasons.
Yeah.
Last year, when the Mets had a terrible season, there were baseball reasons for it, yet we needed to find other things to define it.
Right.
And even now, this season, JD was here. The Jose Iglesias thing is a little bit later on because of him being called up and the song and all that. But winning makes the locker room. Like, let me ask you this question. So that viral video last night that got us all pumped up, all the Mets dancing to OMG.
Yeah, I thought it was corny until I knew what the words meant. But
does that video get made, played, and distributed and applauded if the Mets are 10 games under 500? I'll hang up and take your call off air.
No, it doesn't. Because remember, what was the picture that got circulated?
Them on a plane.
A plane or a bus.
Or a bus. Yeah, it was very Nets-like from 2019.
I think it was a bus because they felt tight together. I don't think they're flying on a plane that's that tight. So I think it was a bus. And everybody, and it was a bad loss they were coming off of.
I think it was right in the middle of the Met-Philly home and home.
Yeah.
So they were busing to Philadelphia, and they had just split a series with the Phillies, and they were still not playing great baseball.
Right, and everybody was smiling and happy and like, hey, look at us. And they got criticized. For that.
Exactly.
Like, how dare you be happy? Well, one, there's a million reasons, I'm sure, in everybody's pocket why you're happy. Because you're baseball players and your contracts are guaranteed. But you're playing a sport. It's a kid's game, man. You make it a king's ransom in the words of Warren Sapp. So, like, why not be happy? Yeah, you're playing bad, but it doesn't mean it's a bad situation. And if it was a bad situation, you wouldn't see pictures like that.
Winning, winning, winning.
Right.
It's all about winning. When you lose, we look for the excuses that are not baseball reasons why. We did it last year with the Mets. It'll happen soon enough with the Yankees. It's all about winning. The Met locker room feels magical right now because they're winning. Grimace, you're
lucky charm. Give me a grimace. Give me OMG, please.
I don't think Iglesias...
Retire that grimace song.
I don't think this is a very public song release if the Mets are still 10 games under, too.
Yeah. No.
You're 100% right.
That's my point, yes.
But by the way, why not? I'm not faulting a guy for being opportunistic. I've been the most opportunistic person that I can think of. You give me an opportunity? Hey, T, you want to do Broadway? Absolutely. Right? You want to come on? You want to host on Fox and Friends? Absolutely.
Right? What would you be saying this morning on Fox and Friends?
I would have been fair and balanced.
Yeah. They all suck.
You're the sucker. You're the loser.
We're screwed.
You're all losers. And No. We're all the losers because one of you morons is getting elected president.
Meanwhile, RFK did not make the stage last night.
But didn't he do?
Yeah, so what RFK did was, God bless. By the way, and this is very quick, a political statement. I'll make it. This is the problem with our system. If there's a third person on that stage, whether it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., mm-hmm. whether it's, it doesn't matter.
Four more years.
This election is very different. What is holding us back as a country is that we only have two choices, even though you have more than two choices. Mm-hmm. If you put someone on that stage, any competent person on that stage, the polls today are very different. And so Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has no chance, not because of him, and yes, he has some crazy views, but because he's not given the opportunity. And I'll leave it at that. Oh, on a much more serious note, speaking of elections, I'm about to put a poll out. Which is sparking the Mets more, Grimace or OMG?
OMG.
What do you think wins?
OMG.
Grimace?
I'm actually influencing the vote right now, so I should actually be quiet, otherwise I'll go to jail.
No, this one's okay.
For voter influence, but it's definitely OMG. And you know how I know?
How do you know?
Because until I speculated and now confirmed by dissecting the song, that whole little smack the thing, which I thought was like just flawed, swat away the flies is actually smack that, you know what?
Pictures of your booty.
That's been going on for a while.
Yes, like, it has.
That goes back to
the team meeting.
The team meeting.
It started in the team meeting, yeah.
So it's definitely OMG.
All right. Well, I just put a poll out there for people to digest. Is it Grimace or is it OMG?
I don't care what people think. I'm telling you what it is.
Because when they hit home runs, they're putting a spanking on the opponent.
Right. Now, Positive Tommy, do you have an answer before we check the results and when we check the results? Because it's okay for you to offer an opinion. Like, it's okay. Is it Grimace or is it OMG?
So here's where the question is a little bit confusing. I think that the Mets players are being more sparked by OMG. I think the fans will vote Grimace, especially after the performance he put on Shea Bridge the other night drinking, which is a legendary clip. So I think the fans will see this, and they will think Grimace because he's been the rallying cry. But I think the Met players, it's OMG and the booty slap.
Okay. Our Latin Met fans, tell them what it's really about. That's what it comes down to.
Maybe the people. Maybe Mrs. Met was in the mind of Iglesias when he wrote the song.
That's a good point. So great. Mr. and Mrs. Met came by the Cadillac Club while we were on the air.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, and I don't know if you got trouble at home. That's your call. I'm certainly not trying to get you in trouble.
I did not.
But Tiki could not take his eyes off Mrs. Met's ass. Well,
pictures of your booty.
I could have stuck my Hendrix martini on that thing. He's white. He doesn't get it.
Can serve Thanksgiving dinner on it.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Or Mr. Met doesn't get it.
Sure.
I totally get it. Let's go to Mike in Valley Cottage. How you doing today, Mike?
Good. How are you, Evan? Big fan of the show.
We appreciate it. What's up?
So I want to talk about the main reason why I think the Mets have been so successful this season. And you haven't really pointed it out, but I think it's David Stearns. I mean, you look at David Stearns' moves that he's made into this offseason. Harrison Bader's been fantastic. J.D. Martinez, who was signed to a one-year, has been a revelation.
Right.
Even like the small signings, like Reed Garrett
but they've turned him around.
You mean a guy like Luis Severino? That's a big deal.
Yeah, and Severino.
Was that his first move?
Yes.
That was his first move.
It was his first move, yeah. No, I think, by the way, Mike, I think you're right. I mean, one thing Tiki has stressed as the Mets renaissance has occurred is that we should give the players credit.
Right.
And one thing to keep in mind is, and I know you don't necessarily think this sometimes with me, of course it's the players.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fun stuff. The fun stuff of Grimace and an OMG song, but obviously you've got to perform on the field. To his point, Sean Manaea on a one-year deal. He's gone out and made every start. He's pitched to a high 3 ERA. he's been solid. Mm-hmm. Luis Severino has been as good as anybody could have expected. Harrison Bader, I called him a fourth outfielder. At the end of the day, I still think he is a fourth outfielder. He's played better than that. He's played like an everyday player. I mean, I can't deny that. So we have seen some very keen moves by David Stern signing J.D. Martinez. How important was that? I still remember Sean yelling at me when I suggested them signing him. Sean's opinion, Tiki, was it doesn't matter, you stink anyway. That's his opinion.
Great. Enjoy your 500 record.
That's your response?
Yeah, that's my response.
Enjoy your 500 record.
If they don't make the playoffs, then what did it matter?
Do you think right now the Mets will never see above 500?
Stop putting me in these positions.
Well,
you know
I'm just
what?
Curious. They're playing the Astros. The Astros are the hottest team in baseball this
I'll
side of the Mets.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you an opinion when you're on your road in North Carolina Monday. Me and Tiki, 2 o'clock on the fan.
Because you don't want me to yell at you or something?
I just, you know, who needs that today?
I kind of get the sense that as much as I need vacation, you guys need vacation from me.
Yeah, well, I think Tiki has dropped enough of those hints.
I know. Tiki's like, we're going to talk football all day. Get the hell out of here.
We had a secret meeting behind your back.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of football, I got a big announcement I got to make about football.
Uh-oh.
Very big announcement.
And?
I'm not doing it right now. I'm going to do it at 5 o'clock today.
Why are you teasing me? Oh, that's what you do in radio. You tease.
Exactly.
You're going to do it at 5:06 because I'm not skipping Cinco.
Oh, that's right. Right after the Cinco de 5:00, a very big football announcement that impacts me and 3 other people. No, could impact the audience. It very well could impact the audience. We'll get to that coming up. We'll get back to your calls as well. 888-808-1019. And more reaction to, is it Grimace or is it OMG? What is sparking the New York Mets? And for the Yankee fan out there, what is going to get this team going as they have gone through their worst stretch of the season and it continues to get ugly?